Wholesaling Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. It's time to take you behind the scenes in Smash Mouth.
Cuts across, he scores!
This is the Preds Official Podcast with Thomas Willis and Brooks Bratton.
Powerful move from back of the net.
On Smashville's best sports talk,
ESPN
102.5 The Game.
Hi, everyone. Thanks for joining the Preds Official Podcast on ESPN 102.5 The Game. For Brooks Bratton, I'm Thomas Willis, the two of us of NashvillePredators.com. Local hero Calvin Smith, not here today, so we've got Max Herz behind the ones and twos. I think that's what you're supposed to say. He's produced a few shows before, so we're pretty sure he's going to do a good job. We're pretty sure.
A fellow Pittsburgher.
Okay, you had to bring that up. We are actually all in the studio together. Brooks and I are 6 feet apart.
We are about as far
we're away in different seats.
Yeah, as we can get from each other.
Yeah. And it's so funny that I always think about this because I am like 6'5". So every time somebody says like 6 feet apart, I'm like, okay, so just picture yourself lying down.
That's what I did.
That's how far apart you need to be.
I'm not.
It's one Thomas length apart.
I'm not kidding. I just pictured, okay, from me to Thomas, could Thomas lie down in between? And I think you could.
I think it's about the right distance.
I think there's enough room.
I think it is about
6 feet.
Unlike
when you were not, when your feet were hanging off that hotel bed in San Jose the one time.
Sure. Yeah, that was during the 2016 playoffs. Yeah. That was smaller than a twin size bed anyways.
You know, I had a listener tweet me this morning. So as we record this on Friday, March 20th is the date. A listener said, I guess no Preds podcast this week. Said, no. You're sadly mistaken. We're here.
First of all, how dare you? Secondly, what gives you the right? If we don't stop during the off season, we're not stopping now. And I know that you hopefully are like me. You're actually getting caught up on some of your podcasts. Yeah. I've been opening my Overcast app, which is what I used incidentally, and I'm like, wow, I'm actually listening to like 7 episodes of my shows this week. I might actually get caught up. So we would not want to leave you without something to listen to. So to that end, we have a awesome interview that we actually just recorded with Jeff Merrick of Sportsnet and the 31 Thoughts podcast. I did not say this to him, but you've heard me say this before. It is the best hockey podcast out there. I would rank us as a close second, yeah, of course, biasly, sure, but it's phenomenal. If you aren't listening to it, you have time. Listen to 31 Thoughts podcast as well and listen to the POP. But he had some great insight on just the situation and times that we live in, but then also some Preds prospects news on Philip Tomasino and Igor Afanasyev. And then the Preds have actually made some signings recently, so we're going to go around. We've got news. We've got plenty to cover. Mm-hmm. So without further ado, Brooks, it's our first time recording a show in about a week, as it often is, and wow, has a lot changed.
Yeah, so as we recorded this last week, remember that we were originally planning on recording last week on Thursday before the Maple Leafs game, just due to our schedules, and of course, that all came to a screeching halt. So we got back at it on Friday when we were back in town in Nashville after the NHL season had been paused. Of course, so much has changed since then. We know how quickly this situation seems to change by the day, by the hour, by the minute at times. And, of course, we're in the pause of the 2019-20 NHL season due to the spread of the coronavirus. And this was the case for the most part last week as well when we recorded, but essentially every hockey league in the world has at least been postponed for now. Many have canceled their seasons altogether, many of them in Europe. The East Coast Hockey League is one here in the United States that has said, you know what, we're just done. We're not even going to postpone. We're done for 2019-20, which is such a shame. But of course, we know the gravity of this situation that we're all dealing with. Of course, the NHL still has every intention of awarding the Stanley Cup at some point in 2020. And we do have some updates from the league on how they're viewing all of this. But first, a memo that was sent out to the players earlier in the week that said, because remember, the league was hoping, before this had really progressed in the last week to the point that it has, the league was kind of hoping, okay, let's maybe hang out for a week or two, see if things are getting better, and then at that point, maybe we could open up some practices, some training facilities, that sort of thing. That became clear once the CDC released some guidelines that said no gatherings of more than 50 people for the next 8 weeks. That kind of squashed that dream, and so the league told players, essentially, you can opt to return home outside of your club city. They wanted everybody to stay in their club city, but if you're from Canada, if you're from Europe, if you've got family, if you'd rather do that, the league said, yes, you can go ahead and do that. And of course, some regular updates will continue to come. The league hopes to provide some high-level guidance on the potential of opening a training camp period, perhaps roughly 45 days into that 60-day period covered by the CDC's directive. But again, I mean, who knows the way that this is going? But at least the league got some further guidance and was able to say to the players, hey, we realize what's going on. You don't need to stay in your respective city. So that's kind of what's been said from an NHL perspective as far as players are concerned. And then from a Predators perspective, we've heard over the last week from Philip Forsberg, Roman Josi, Matthew Shane, and Kyle Turris. And you can see their messages on Twitter at PredsNHL. They've been on Instagram as well. But we wanted to go ahead and let everyone hear that message from Duchesne. Again, one of the few players we've actually heard from during this time, but it is good to hear from them. And here's what Matt Duchesne had to say on the current situation.
Smashville, what's going on? Hope you guys are all staying safe. Hope everyone's healthy. Just want to reiterate what everyone's saying. Make sure you're taking care of yourself. Social distancing is huge right now. Make sure you're washing your hands, all that good stuff. This is unbelievable what we're all going through. We're all in this together. I know the hockey part of it is really tough for all of us. I know, you know, as a team, we were really getting some traction lately, and we loved, you know, the support we had from you guys, and things were going such a great direction, and it just comes to a screeching halt like it did. It's tough on all of us, and but this is something that is so much bigger than sports, and I just hope that everybody can band together and do all the right things here, and I urge you to do that. So let's continue to fight this thing, and hopefully we'll see you back out there soon. So we love you guys, and wish you all the best in this this trying time. God bless, and talk soon.
So you heard Duchesne there, and as is the case with every NHLer, there's nothing they'd rather be doing than pushing for the playoffs right now, but everyone realizes that this is much bigger than the game of hockey at this point.
Right, and I don't think you need Brooks and I to sit here and preach to you about why this is important, why it's the right call. I think we're past that. It's just dealing with the reality that we're in. And as you touched on, the biggest piece of news was the 8-week minimum from the CDC. So now immediately you're thinking to yourself, that's what, just into May, effectively from when that time frame came down. So we'll see, and we'll debate that even some on this program, but suddenly it becomes the equation of the regular season starts to very much look in doubt. So for the 14 teams who are outside of the playoffs, all of a sudden big question marks arise for them because, again, the NHL has been very open from the beginning in saying we want to award the Stanley Cup. We want a champion for this season. But now all of a sudden does it shrink down to a field of 16, maybe even smaller from that. And I think the other thing that they've been open with, Commissioner Gary Bettman said, we don't want the ideas to just be on us as the league, meaning we'll take anything, right? Like we want to find a way, even if it's something that's never been done before, right? Whether that's going from a 7-game series to a 3-game series, whether that's more of a tournament format or whatever it ultimately ends up being. It seems like a creative solution is almost required at this point. Is that fair? And to that end, there is a huge motivation, not even just from a player perspective of being a competitive person, but escrow and a financial element of it, they want to play as many games as possible as well. And so that's why earlier this week we learned two big pieces of information. I'll pass the second one to you. The first being NHL Deputy Commissioner Bill Daly said they really don't want to touch the 82 games for next season, so 2020-21. That's the big piece right now. But is there some creative way where, and especially if the Olympics end up not happening in Japan this year, that all of a sudden you have more of the calendar to play with that you haven't had before, meaning July, meaning August, meaning September?
Yeah, so as you said, they've kind of been accepting any and all ideas, anything that anybody wants to come up with. And the league's been pretty transparent, too, as far as releasing information. They're not trying to shy away from what they've been talking about. There was an interesting article on NHL.com from friend of the show, Nick Kotsanika, and Bill Daly, the deputy commissioner, has spoken to a number of different outlets over the last week trying to get some of that information out. But the NHL has a coronavirus task force of about 15 people representing a cross-section of operations. And Commissioner Bettman leads a conference call each day at 10 a.m. It lasts about an hour. And then Deputy Commissioner Daly will then send an update to all of the clubs each day about 1 o'clock Eastern. And he spends a lot of time on the phone with teams, the NHL Players Association, medical personnel, including an infectious disease expert that the league has retained. because of the virus. So they're very much on top of this, trying to provide updates and just any sort of information that they can to their respective teams. We are not necessarily privy to that information, but those who are at the top, presidents, general managers, you can bet that they're in touch with the league at least daily, probably multiple times a day, as far as that is concerned. As we record this on Friday, the Ottawa Senators announced Tuesday that a player had tested positive for the virus. Deputy Commissioner Daly said that is the only NHL player who has tested positive, and relatively few have been tested at this point. A number of NBA players over the last week have certainly tested positive, and we know that the outbreak there kind of really shut down sports across North America, honestly, is when the NBA said last Wednesday night, hey, we're done, we're postponing everything. I don't think anybody else really had a choice at that point.
Yeah, I don't think so. And the second piece that I was alluding to earlier is this proposal from some players, and this was reported on TSN earlier in the week. And again, who knows? By next week, we may not be talking about this anymore. But again, in an effort and understanding that, again, it's going to be a while, and this is something that I've heard from other NHL experts as well. It's also not just this initial wave. It's, okay, when we are able to return, meaning as sports, we can't have a relapse. We can't, you know, get lazy again. We can't, you know, have another pause. You have to have some level of certainty that you are ready to return. So that's why this proposal from some NHL players, again, that was reported by TSN, involves this. In early July, come back for a training camp. So again, after three-ish months off, you would want to be able to get back up to a skating, conditioning, and practicing level. In late July, finish some of the regular season games, if at all possible, because as we know, for example, the Winnipeg Jets are higher up in the standings but have played two, three more games than the Predators. So then a lot of people just assume points percentage is the way to go, and that may end up being the case. But if you ideally could get people to the same number of games, that might be the easiest way to determine who makes the playoffs. Then in August and September, which it is usually about a two-month run, usually, of course, it's April and May, you run the playoffs in August and September. Then October, you do draft and free agency, and then you delay the 2021 season to November. So outside of the box, but I think that's what we need at this point. So we will see. I don't know if you want to comment on that before we conclude per se, but it is just, I use that as a reminder of, it's almost certainly, if and when the NHL returns, it's going to be different than it ever has been before. At least accept that.
Well, I did find it interesting, too. There was another idea that was thrown about as to kind of having a 24-team playoff in a way, and having almost kind of play-in games or three-game series, give the top teams, the division leaders, or the top three in each division, a bye, if you will, in the first round, and letting those teams that might be 1 or 2 points out right now, that are going to say, if things do get better and you are able to come back and at least want to try for a playoffs, if you're 1 point out of the playoffs, I get it. You're saying, hey, like, how is that fair, right? We didn't even finish the regular season. You're saying we can't even participate. So there's some thinking there in letting teams, you know, not like a Detroit or an LA who are completely out of it, but teams that are on the bubble and saying, hey, we'd like a shot. There has been some talk of potentially that as well. I also thought it was interesting that Bill Daly said, every team has played at least 68 games at this point, and we feel like that's a good chunk of the regular season. We feel like there hasn't been any integrity lost in that. And so they don't necessarily see a need if there's no time to come back and play a ton of regular season games, if at all. And again, I mean, this is all speculation. We don't know if this is going to happen. Sure. We don't know how much better things are going to be in June or July or August or how long this will go on. But again, it never hurts to be coming up with ideas, because if things do get better, you're going to want to get going as soon as it's safe and prudent to be able to do so. And so it's good to try to come up with these ideas. And it's kind of fun to think about, honestly.
Yeah, it sure is. So let's continue that discussion with Jeff Merrick of Sportsnet and the 31 Thoughts podcast. That's coming up next on the Preds Official Podcast on ESPN 102.5 The Game. You're listening to the Preds Official Podcast on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Thanks for sticking with us. We're now joined by a very special guest, Jeff Merrick of Sportsnet and the 31 Thoughts Podcast. Jeff, we wanted to have you on the program for a while now, so great to finally connect with you. Thanks for doing this.
Well, listen, thanks for a couple of things. One, thanks for having me on the podcast. And two, thanks for letting me choose the music I came in with. Normally, and I'm a big Nine Inch Nails fan, so lovely, let me choose the intro music, because normally when I do a lot of hockey shows, the host figured that, oh, he's a hockey media guy. He must love the hockey song by Stompin' Tom. I can honestly tell you guys, that song is the bane of my existence. I love Stompin' Tom. He's got this wonderful catalog of songs, but that one just digs into my brain and drives me crazy. Like, there are very few things that I dislike in this world, but the hockey song by Stompin' Tom is one of them. So thank you for not just saying, oh, go with the hockey song. The goofy hockey kid from Canada will like that. Thank you for letting me choose Nine Inch Nails, gentlemen.
Absolutely. We try not to stereotype on this program. So that's also why we didn't play Bruce Springsteen. I know he's the other hockey media cliche. So we're happy to have you choose.
Yeah, a lot of hockey dudes love Springsteen. Anyway, what's going on today? How are you?
Anyways, I'm doing well. Hope you are the same. I just, before we really dive in, I'm curious, just from your vantage point, again, you have your own podcast as well. What has this week been like? It's crazy to think we actually really are only at the 1 week mark since the NHL season has gone on pause.
Yeah, only 1 week mark, and all of our lives have been turned upside down. You know, as I'm in my home office right now, I did the Hockey Central radio show from here earlier on today, did a couple of radio hits from here, either on, you know, tie line or just on my phone. And, you know, I'm not leaving the house, and I'm not going anywhere, and I'm not in the minority on that either. I'm looking at the road, and there's scant a car, there's scant a cyclist, there's scant a jogger. Like, it's a ghost town. Like, its entire all of our entire communities have turned into zombie movies right now. And what is this going to lead to for sports? Where is this going to end? I think that all we have now are questions, and there's nothing concrete on the horizon. We're in this holding pattern, waiting for some type of news, and I think we're probably all on the same page that we're not expecting to get any answers or get any definitive news for quite some time now. I think we've all got the hunker down, this is going to be a long time mentality.
Totally agree with that, and that goes ahead and answers my next question. So assuming that there is a return to sports in a couple months, I mean, maybe even more than that, where do you think changes about sports in general and then hockey specifically when there is inevitably that return? I mean, do we ever view the sport the same way that we have over all these years?
That's a great question. And I wonder about a few things here. I wonder what, first of all, I wonder about attendance at arenas. I wonder about viewership. I wonder, you know, we have the psychology now of, you know, gathering in large groups isn't a good thing. What does that do when, you know, for the purposes of this podcast, what does this do when hockey does return? Is there still that nervousness to congregate? I know that human beings have a natural desire to be amongst one another, but what are the lingering effects of this? And even more so, you know, when we're all done this, like, I do worry about discretionary income that people are going to have. Mm. And how many people are going to be willing to go and buy a hockey ticket and go to a game or buy a, you know, subscription or buy a jersey or do any of the things that we sort of take for granted at the beginning of every season. So I wonder what this does to the fan base. As far as the product on the ice, I think what we're all wondering is, you know, how are teams going to be constructed? What is the salary cap going to be? You know, we were talking on our podcast, Elliot and I, a couple of days ago about escrow potentially being as high as gulp 35%. Mm-hmm. If you're an NHLer and you're playing in somewhere like New York, 50% of your income is going to state taxes. Mm-hmm. Escrow is going to gobble up as much as 35%. Then you pay another 5% to your agent. How much of your paycheck are you actually taking home? Like, these are frightening numbers. So how are teams going to construct rosters? Do we start to see things like compliance buyouts for teams just to get under the salary cap? Like, I think we're heading, guys, into uncharted territory, and no one knows the answers to any of this. And like you mentioned, it's only a week in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, shoot, it is crazy. Well, I would assume that many people that are listening to this right now are anxious for some hope, anxious for some optimism, want to know, you know, if and when hockey returns. And you mentioned the 31 Thoughts podcast. I know you and Elliot talked about this a lot. So in your mind, you mentioned the escrow part of it as well. Players want to play games. They want to get on the ice. They want to, you know, get some of that revenue going again. So if there is a possibility to return straight to the playoffs or something to that effect, what in your mind is at least a reasonable hypothetical situation to get this 2019-2020 season concluded?
I don't know if they'd have the ability to conclude it. I think they'd also. I don't think they necessarily need to conclude a regular season. I think they just go off percentages and determine the playoffs that way. Maybe expand the playoff pool. But honestly, I think everything's on the table right now. If there is any way to play July, August games in the playoffs, I think the NHL goes for it. You know, the Players Association will want to go for it as well. These inflated escrow numbers, really scare hockey players, and you can understand why. Like, honestly, I think we're at a place where normally we might say, oh, you can't play hockey into August. But now I think we're of the mind that, wow, if you can salvage this season somehow, but it's going to mean playing hockey into August, I think most players would look at it and say, yeah, that's exactly what we need to do. The one thing that I wonder here is how much the Olympic decision might affect what the NHL does. This is a shared broadcaster in NBC, and if the Olympics go on, and I still have a hard time believing that they will, but if somehow they do, then I'm guessing the cutoff point would be, what is it, guys, July 24th, 25th, 26th, mm-hmm. somewhere around there, because the attention then shifts to Tokyo and the 2020 Summer Games.
We're speaking with Jeff Merrick of Sportsnet and the 31 Thoughts podcast and Hockey Central. You're listening to the Preds official podcast on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Jeff, just one more on this topic. I saw the news of the week was that NHL Deputy Commissioner Bill Daly said that 82 games for a 2021 season is still paramount and still kind of primary in his mind. So is that almost what we should be focusing on? Is that really kind of the trump card for these hypothetical situations for finishing up this season that's on pause right now?
Yeah, I think we're all sort of trying to read in between the lines anytime, you know, Deputy Commissioner Bill Daly or NHL Commissioner Gary Bettman speaks, because, you know, the one thing that they've done really well is they haven't given anyone any false hope. And all they've indicated is, you know, I think one of the things to understand now is essentially the decision is out of their hands. Like, this isn't mm-hmm. a decision that the NHL is going to make on its own. And they realize there is a lot of powerlessness that comes along with this right now. And I think that they're looking at the situation, and probably rightfully so, saying this is going to be a lost season. We're probably not going to be able to award a Stanley Cup. So now let's turn our attention, you know, not completely, because if there's a chance to salvage this, you know, the NHL and the Players Association will. But I think, you know, a lot of teams and leagues in Europe are doing this. And I think the NHL is probably, to some extent as well, is trying to do whatever it can to have some normalcy, all 82 games of it next season.
Now, you're an expert on prospects and all things around that, so I wanted to get your take on two guys the Predators drafted last year that they thought maybe both could have been at least first-round values in Philip Tomasino and Igor Afanasyev. So what have you seen from them? What's kind of the picture down the road for Preds fans to see from that pair?
I love Philip Tomasino. Like, I can speak with him. I can speak about him with a lot more authority than I can the other prospect. But Tomasino, I've been able to watch for a long time. He is a real, first of all, it's not that it matters a ton, but he comes from a wonderful family. Like, right away, like, the Tomasino family is fantastic. They're wonderful people, really good. Philip himself, I know, was on the radar for a lot of teams. I know the Toronto Maple Leafs were big fans of Philip Tomasino as well. And the Maple Leafs were one of those teams that went into the draft last year and said, you know, we're only taking players that can skate. If you can't skate, there's no room for you here. And Tomasino is one of those players that can skate, that can keep up, had a wonderful finish to his season after he got moved from the Niagara Ice Dogs to the Oshawa Generals and picked up 43 points in 26 games. Really nice career with the Ice Dogs. They're rebuilding, going a different direction, moved to Kale Thomas. But, you know, Tomasino is one of those guys that I don't think we think that he's going to step into the lineup next season by any stretch of the imagination, probably a couple years away. But I was a real big fan of what Nashville did last year with him. As far as a fan, I always pronounce his name wrong, Afanasyev, real nice season for the Windsor Spitfires. You know, it was a different year for Windsor. You know, Trevor Letowski does a wonderful job of developing players. Lutz has done, you know, a remarkable job finishing guys up for the NHL, led the Windsor Spitfires in scoring. And listen, man, like, it's tough. It's tough for Russian hockey players to come over and acclimatize themselves quickly, but Fanaseyev has been able to do what, you know, Andrei Svechnikov was able to do before, what Igor Provorov was able to do before. And it almost becomes this pipeline now for Russian hockey players, and that's come into North America a couple of years before their NHL draft, start by playing in the USHL, and this player joined the Muskegon Lumberjacks in 2017, play in the USHL, play a year junior in the OHL, and then find your way somewhere else. So he's a big kid. He's got good size. The kid can finish as well, 31 goals. And the OHL is a tough league to score goals in. So is the USHL, and he put up 27 the year before. Only got a chance to watch him twice with the Windsor Spitfires this season. Only had two viewings for the Spitfires, so can't really speak with much authority. But Tomasino, I really love. Great engine on the kid, wonderful player, great family, and you know he's someone that Preds fans should feel pretty lucky that they got at that spot in the draft, because there were a lot of teams before them that had eyes on Tomasino.
I want to end on two questions about the Predators on the ice right now. And this first one was asked by one of our listeners, and I think it's impossible, so that's why I'm asking it of you. And the question was, you know, if the season were to conclude right now, or how should this 2019-20 season be viewed from a Predators perspective? Meaning, you had the coaching change. You had really kind of a lot of failures throughout the season. You thought you were probably going to be able to challenge for the division again. You recovered toward the end, though. Like, if this were to be it, what are the feelings supposed to be about 1920 for Nashville?
My big question would be, where did the goals go? Mm-hmm. And where did the saves go? Those would be the big two. Like, we looked at, you know, the Nashville Predators, and again, like, it's remarkable the way that it seemed like it was 5 minutes ago that this team was one of the elite teams in the NHL and competing for the Stanley Cup, and they're going to be there for a number of years. And now all of a sudden, you know, we find the Nashville Predators, you know, fighting for a playoff spot. The unfortunate thing for Nashville is they're putting on a nice push here before the season went on hiatus. But I think that we'll probably look at Victor Arvidsson and say, you know what, he probably wasn't fully healed from the injury. But, you know, 15 goals for Victor Arvidsson. This isn't your classic Victor Arvidsson season. You know, I think we'll look at Ryan Johansson and say, you know, 36 points. You know, there's not a whole lot of there. For Ryan Johansson, you know, the Nashville Predators were the last team in the NHL to get a 20-goal score, and that was, of course, as you guys know, Philip Forsberg, who finishes up here with 21. So the big one to me is Pekka Rinne still the starter for the Nashville Predators, and what can this team do to address a significant goal-scoring issue? Thought they had done it by bringing in a player like Matt Duchene. Obviously, that's not enough. So what does David Poile do now? I think that if you're Nashville right now, you start to have a long look at what you do with this roster, because going into next season, if there is one, this is a team that's going to have to score a lot more goals than it did this year. I know that the Nashville organization historically hasn't been one that's predicated on scoring goals. It's one that's predicated on defending. And the team is blessed by having one of the best defensemen in the NHL in Roman Josi. But if I'm David Poile, I'm significantly concerned with the lack of production from my forwards.
And then to close on this, so with John Hines getting a full year next year is the assumption, of course, as this head coach. What do you think we should expect from him? And then where, in your mind, do potential UFAs and Craig Smith and Mikhail Granlund, who've arguably been two of the better players under Hines, where do they factor into the long-term plans as well?
Yeah, more question for David Poile, but I like both players. I think that, you know, I'm a big fan of John Hines. I thought that he got a raw deal with New Jersey, and I didn't think that was the issues there were a matter of coaching rather than a matter of composition. The one thing that I like about John Hines, and this is no slight at Peter Laviolette, but I mean, it was, you know, by the end of, you know, Laviolette's tenure, and all coaches have, you know, have shelf lives, and we all understand that, it seemed as if the team was lifeless. And it seems that the team had run out of energy. And the one thing that we know about John Hines is, you know, this guy is the all-in coach. He's the 24/7 coach. He's a student of the game coach. And he's not one that's going, I mean, he's someone that, you know, isn't shy about, you know, coming in and sitting down superstar players. He's not shy about making the bold decision. We've seen Hines do that before. So if I'm a Nashville fan, I take comfort knowing that it's a different coach, and it's one that is one of the more passionate coaches you have in the NHL, and it's one that's going to be on the job 24/7 and is still very much hungry, and that's probably what a team like the Nashville Predators needs right now.
Jeff, thanks so much for doing this, and thanks for not letting us play the hockey song to introduce you today. So we appreciate that as well.
Okay, let me ask you a question.
Fair enough.
Just level with me here. Do you guys really like that song?
No, not really. Well, and it's just take me out to the ball game, right? But I feel like as Americans, it's like, well, we've got to play it because they've got their song, and it's like, well, no, not really. So
take me out to the ball game. Awesome.
Right, that is a classic.
Fantastic. I'll take that all day long. Please.
Okay. Well, next time you're on, we'll play then. We'll bring you back with Take Me Out to the Ball Game.
Hey, listen, it might be the only game in town at that point. Who knows? Come on, NHL. Let's get going here.
Sounds good. Thanks, Jeff. Have a good weekend.
Thanks for having me on.
Up next, the Predators signed two prospects this week. We'll discuss that and answer plenty of Twitter questions, all on the Preds Official Podcast on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Halfway through the Predators official podcast, episode 78 to be exact, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game Nashville app. Brooks Bratton, Thomas Willis of NashvillePredators.com, Brandon Flowers of The Killers on the vocals. New music, new album out in May. I am quite excited. Thomas, not as much, but that's okay.
Well, I was laughing internally because I guess we are technically at the midway point, although we've already used more than our time, but it makes me laugh whenever I'm editing one of your stories and you'll be like, they're in the midst of a 3-game losing streak, and I'll say, I sure hope not, because that means they've got to lose 3 more games. But we actually are in the middle of something, so well done.
You know, those little English language nuances that I still have not mastered.
I'll be like, hopefully not in the midst. Just
what about in the mix?
Well, perhaps. So we all try to be that. So this week we got some hockey news, some exciting in hockey news as well. Two players officially added into the fold after signing new contracts. You were able to speak to both of them. They both have recently concluded their collegiate careers. These contracts are for the 2021 season and going forward. So they, if and when we return for this 2019-20 season, they of course would not be eligible to play. A quick distinction there.
Yes, good to point out. Actually just got off the phone with one of them before we came into the studio, Patrick Harper, who the Predators drafted in the 5th round of the 2016 NHL draft. Nashville signs him to a 2-year entry-level deal on Friday afternoon. Harper's coming off a 4-year career at Boston University, a Predators prospect at BU. Shocker, what? Seems like that's where everyone comes from these days, but they're producing good players. He had 14 goals, 37 points in his senior season. Hockey East third team All-Star honors for Patrick, and established a career high, or tying a career high, that he had in his freshman campaign. Some health issues his sophomore year, took him a little bit of time to catch up in his junior year, but really rebounded in his senior season. And he said that as much. He was really pleased with his decision to return for his senior year. He feels like it really helped him in his career. He's only 5'7", and we've talked about that before in any time that we've brought him up over the last 4 years, not necessarily on this program, but just in general. But boy, has he found a way to use his size and be effective.
He's, well, and then all of a sudden, he's taller than Rocco Grimaldi.
Sure. That's
seemed
that's
like
a
bigger
point.
Hurdle just 3 years ago.
That's a good point. He said that as much. He said, I've really studied the smaller guys in the NHL and how they play. It can be done. Rocco, sure. As you said, Rocco is a perfect image of that. Marty St. Louis is one that I always go back to, a former league MVP who was not blessed with height but had plenty of skill.
And quickly to complete your joke for those who missed it, recent other Boston University players you know of, Dante Fabro, of course, and then David Ference has been making some noise as well. So just in case you were like, BU, I don't get it. That's at least two names to keep in mind.
Yes, yes, yes. Plenty of them. So David Ference actually nominated for the Hobey Baker Award coming up at the end. Of course, college hockey has also done, but had a fantastic junior season, the defenseman there, David Ferentz. And then the Predators on Thursday signed forward Cole Smith to a one-year two-way deal, undrafted. So a senior, just finished his senior season at North Dakota and improved his statistics throughout his college career, including 11 goals this season. Opposite Patrick Harper, he's 6'3", and he kind of plays that power forward role. Saw some comments on social media that, boy, is he a pain in the butt to play against. And he said that as much did Cole Smith. I like to make it tough on the opposition. And in talking to Predators assistant general manager Jeff Kelty, guys who maybe are collegiate players not drafted, you're kind of looking for those role players as you go along, right? The guys who are going to be your top six guys, they're probably going to get drafted. It's guys like this, like a Cole Smith, who the Predators, you know, it's never a guarantee that he's going to be in the lineup ever, honestly, but he's a guy that the Predators are certainly high on. They thought enough of him to sign him to a one-year, two-way deal, and they're certainly hopeful that perhaps down the line he could play that role, that power forward, shut down, in-your-face, annoying to play against kind of role that every team still needs, honestly.
And if you're curious, this plays out in the calendar year much like NHL free agency does. So, again, he has an undrafted player was able to be signed by anyone. The Predators went out, scouted him, knew of him, and were able to sign him to a contract. Similarly, you'll also see this happen sometimes when a player actually does get drafted, but then goes through his eligibility window and becomes a free agent in that sense. So just about this point every time in the NHL calendar year, that I guess it's a little earlier this year because of the season being suspended, but usually it's in that March, April, May window, you're able to go out and add prospects that you, again, maybe missed earlier, and you did not draft them 3 or 4 or 5 years ago, but now all of a sudden you want to sign them.
And to your point about the contracts being for next season, oftentimes that's a hot storyline as teams will sign guys and immediately throw them into their lineup for their playoff push. That's obviously not the case right now, but certainly something the Predators are thinking about for the future and bringing these two guys on. So again, Patrick Harper's been with the organization for a while, been to a number of development camps. He's really excited to be locked up. And then Cole Smith as well. A guy who, you know, always, as a hockey player, you always dream of playing professionally. And he'll get that chance now. So congrats to both of them.
All right, let's get to some of these Twitter questions. I really appreciate you guys as the listeners using hashtag Preds Podcast and helping us fill up the last few moments of this show. This is something we're going to do a little bit more going forward. Of course, we want to be able to drive the content in the direction that you want to hear it. So more specifics on that in our next segment, but we do have a few minutes here. So first up, Ty wants to know, what's the estimated restart date point? Does Bridgestone Arena still have ice, or was it removed like it was in Dallas? Answering the second part first, Nick, who works on our video team and is also a loyal listener of this show, he went into the office today, so I was able to confirm the ice is still in at Bridgestone Arena, and I promised him a shout-out because of it. You and I have not been in the arena all this week due to working from home and practicing our social distancing. So, but yes, the ice still is in right now.
Good to know. And I mean, estimated restart date, who knows?
We touched on
that.
I mean,
it's
May at the earliest.
It's certainly not up to the league. It's all up to the CDC and all kinds of governing bodies who decide that sort of thing as we make our way through this situation.
This small-time rock stars question, I did not say your name at the time because I had not scrolled through, but I actually asked this question of Jeff Merrick. I said, this is an impossible question to answer, so how should you evaluate whether this season was a success or not, if it were to end right then? So you've already heard the answer to that, of course.
Well, and thanks to the small-time rock stars, by the way. I was like, wait, I know them. The in-house intermission band that so many of us enjoy at Bridgestone.
Yes, yes. Thanks for listening. Thanks for tweeting. Justin wants to know, I know this happens every offseason, but with everything going on now, it got me wondering, what do players do to stay in shape when they don't have a sheet of ice to work with?
Well, so we saw Mattias Ekholm rollerblading through his neighborhood the other day with his wife, Ida Bjornstad, posted that on her Instagram page with their son, William. That's one way to do it. Get out on the rollerblades if you have that. A lot of guys, and that's another tough thing too. I mean, these guys, they're professional athletes, right? They're used to, even if you're not on the ice, you're used to being able to go to a gym or a training facility, and there really isn't even access to that right now. So earlier today, I believe Davidson County here in Nashville, all gyms have now been ordered to close. So it's not like you can run down the street to your local gym. You've got to find a way to do so at home. And most of these guys do have means of doing that at home, but it's tough to replicate the workout that you get from physically ice skating. And so It's not easy, and these guys will do their best to do so, but I think that's, again, why you've heard the league say in those different proposals that there would be time to get back into game shape. They wouldn't just say, okay, we're good, we're playing tonight. You've got to give these guys time to get back into game shape, because you could get hurt if not otherwise.
And to that end, I'll tease a future episode. You and I tossed around of having the Predators TV analyst Chris Mason on the program, because I was thinking he's a unique individual who's lived through two lockouts in his life. So he's done the 2004-2005 lockout where there was no action. He went over to Europe to play, but then maybe more pertinent to this situation, he also played in the lockout shortened season of 2012-2013 where you all of a sudden just didn't start playing till January. So I'm curious, we'll be able to get his perspective soon, I'm sure, on how you stay in shape for that, how you play a more compressed and compact schedule, how you come back quickly if that is to be the case for the Predators in this 19-20 year. So stay tuned. That's a promise for a future episode there.
JZP says, will the players be switching to an online EA Sports NHL model and playing against each other as themselves?
So I will say this. Open right now is the NHL World Gaming Tournament. The link is available at nationalpredators.com. You can actually, you yourself can go in and register to play and compete in this. You have already seen it from the @PredsNHL social handles as well. So not directly answering your question, yes, I'm sure players will continue to do video games, and we have intention to do more with that on the Preds Twitch channel, which we've never used before, but that's coming. But you yourself can actually play and should, because we'd love to see someone wearing a Preds jersey go all the way to these later rounds. I think it's the third year that they've done this. It's a really big ordeal. So you've got to be very good at NHL 20 to make it all the way. But hey, you might as well try.
I often wonder what that's like as a player to see yourself in the video game and play as yourself.
I know. Well, and I've actually, I think, well,
and you can create yourself, of course, nowadays.
Sure.
You've done that many times.
Yeah, for sure. No, I've actually asked Philip Forsberg about that in the past, because I remember he said in the 2017 season when the Preds went to the Stanley Cup final, someone was like, you know, asking about it. He's like, well, I've played it plenty of times on my video game, so I'm excited to actually do it for real. And then I think he used to play his brother all the time and lock himself, because you can lock a player and only play as one guy, would lock as himself and just destroy his brother in NHL 20, or I guess NHL whatever year it was at that point. At least that's the way he'd want me to tell you the story, whether his brother beat him or not. All right, let's keep some more of these questions into the fourth segment. We've got some other things to discuss as well there. So thanks for sticking with us here on the POP, the Preds official podcast on ESPN 102.5, The Game. POP, Preds official podcast on ESPN 102.5, The Game. For Brooks, I'm Thomas, Max, our producer, as we wrap it up here on hopefully your favorite podcast. Man, that's a great show. You have to skip a great show, a great song. You have to skip it after the 2 minute mark. Sorry, Chris Martin, but the first 2 minutes are great.
Chris Martin, one of many world famous artists who have hosted concerts their Instagram pages.
Imagine Dragons, Dan Reynolds just did it this week. I was captivated. I watched for a while. So it's really cool. You know, making some lemonade out of lemons, as they say.
I posted my scrambled eggs and peas, which got the conversation
was a disaster.
Going. Which inspired some questions that we're going to get to.
The eggs did look great.
Thank you. I am pretty proud of
their
my eggs.
Their proximity to the peas did not look great. They should have been practicing social distancing. They were not.
Sure.
Okay, Rick wants to know.
What? No. Dan, so.
Oh, sorry.
This is the I wanted you to answer this. I feel like this is a good life question that you could answer.
Okay.
Because this is the gentleman who said, no Preds podcast.
Oh, man.
And then he's like, he needs our help. Okay. He needs your help. You'd be good at answering.
Dan says, what should I do with my NHL 20 franchise GM? I have 9 players with more than 20 goals and 2 I need to re-sign and no cap room. Trade for picks or keep and bite the bullet. Wow, that's about as hypothetical as it gets. Here's what you do. It makes it super easy on the video game platform. I'm sure David Poole wishes he had this. Each player has a talent evaluator that just shows you how good it is. You can see exactly what you want because of how far the bar is filled up. So, I mean, find the guy that maybe isn't as good as his value thinks that it is, because the video game overvalues future potential. Trade that guy, resign, score, win.
David Poile pulls off trades that even a video game won't allow.
That actually is true. Okay,
you've tried that before.
Yeah, for sure. Now Rick wants to know, what show are you guys binging during this break from hockey?
So nothing yet, because I'm still catching up on the shows that I have on my DVR that I like to watch that I just haven't had time to. So those, I'll give you those. Modern Family on ABC, it's in its final season. I've always loved that. Big Saturday Night Live fan. And my guilty pleasure television show, A Million Little Things on ABC.
There you go. It's
fantastic. It makes me cry about every other episode.
My wife, Elizabeth, and I at home, we have the ESPN Plus, Disney Plus, and Hulu bundle. That's all we have. We do not have TV of any kind. So we are going through the Marvel Cinematic Universe, much perhaps to Elizabeth's chagrin, but it's been fun. We are watching Black Panther as of this recording. Nice. So she's never seen any of them, not her thing. I've seen all of them, but many of them only once. So it's been nice to get back in there. And then probably something on Hulu. We may do Lost for the second time.
Nice.
That's a show that you can do bench. Brent wants to know.
Our lovely coworker, Brent.
Oh, okay. I didn't even realize. He wants to know the best and worst vegetables.
Inspired by my scrambled eggs and peas.
Sure. So, worst, almost all of them. Best, sweet potatoes.
We should clarify that Tom is not big into the vegetables.
Don't eat the most vegetables.
Thomas, would you like some vegetables tonight? Not this time.
Not this time. But I have found that I love sweet potatoes in every form. I mean, just every form that you can come up with.
Yeah.
Baked, diced and cooked, French fried? I mean, you let me know.
Twice baked?
I haven't had a twice baked sweet potato.
Wow.
That's something to look into.
Now's the time.
And I truly just eat it plain. You know, toss a little butter on every now and then.
They are great. Sweet potato fries, too. Brent said his favorite vegetable is broccoli. I would have to agree with that. Worst is peas. Disagree with that. I obviously had peas the other night. I do like peas. I get that not a lot of people like peas. Yeah. My own mother doesn't even like peas. Like, I didn't have peas growing up.
Yeah.
I don't know why I like peas or how that happened. Broccoli, Brussels sprouts are fantastic. Sweet potatoes are amazing. Green beans, carrots, zucchini, love them all.
I know we're running out of time, but I want to quickly insert just how things are going at the Willis household. I've been calling it quarantine rather than quarantine because it just combines quarantine time and one saves time now that I've explained it. So during quarantine,
of course you have.
She asked me the other day, she was eating broccoli, and she said, how much would I have to pay you to eat this? And I said, I'm not a huge...
How many times has she asked you that question?
That's a great question. I put it at $200.
Wow.
Because I said, not only can I not imagine the taste of broccoli and me liking that, I know I had it as a child, but I have not had it in 10 years. And I'm not a huge texture person, but then adding on the fact that putting a small treat into my mouth, I just, $100 wouldn't be worth it. So I spotted her at $200.
Often when I go to your house for dinner, there is Caesar salad.
Yeah.
And I, in my head, and I know Elizabeth will hear this, I often think how happy she must be to buy salad because she knows that I'm coming and I will help her eat the salad.
Yeah. So people remember, though, our longtime listeners, we bet each other I was going to eat a Caesar salad for you if you swept me in fantasy football. You did not. All right. We're sending it home on this. Lauren sent in many, many things. So we're only going to be able to answer two of them. We will save more for future episodes.
Lauren, who we know, but we appreciate her input.
Yes, of course. Loyal listener. We like to think she better be.
Better be.
She wants us to rank the Cheesecake Factory flavors. Let's just do one. We'll conclude on that. So I will say quickly, I finally found it. I finally found the slice of cheesecake because as much as I love them, some of them are just so overdone. I can't do it. Like even the Oreo one from time to time, I'm like, that's too much.
Oh, it is not.
It is the Hershey bar. That is
Hershey
my favorite
bar.
For this reason, okay. Because it's got some cake kind of in it.
Yeah.
It's got the classic cheesecake, of course, and then it's got some different mousse and some different milk chocolate. Oh, try the Hershey bar if you've never had it. It's excellent.
Interesting. I mean, Oreo, hands down. You and I have had some Cheesecake Factory trips before.
We sure have.
Oreo is the best. And I've also heard the Reese's chocolate peanut butter is... It's also good. I may have to try that sometime in the near future. Someone else who listens to this program is a big fan, so I might slide in and try that sometime.
Yeah, there have been some times after some big playoff wins in San Jose specifically that you just had to run out for cheesecake.
When it's right across the street and you win a big game, you know what? I could go for a slice of Oreo cheesecake.
All right, wrap us up.
Hey, thanks for joining us as always. That's Thomas Willis. You can follow him at Tom A. Willis on Twitter. I'm Brooks Bratton. You can follow me at Brooks Bratton on Twitter and Instagram. Maybe I'll post some more pics of my dinner. You can check those out. Complain, gripe, whatever you want. Follow at PredsNHL. As we continue along here, we're playing classic games on Fox Sports Tennessee. Sundays and Thursdays are the times to see those. Of course, follow on social and on NashvillePredators.com as well. Hey, episode 78 of the POP here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. For more, go to NashvillePredators.com/podcast. Our thanks to Jeff Merrick of Sportsnet for joining us this week on the POP. And of course, you can find us wherever you find your favorite podcast. We hope you're staying well, staying safe. We will continue to talk to you as long as we possibly can, as long as this situation continues. But again, stay well, stay safe, and we're glad we can provide you all with some entertainment. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks for listening.